Draft language in the massive annual defense bill that the House Armed Services Committee will begin work on later this morning includes several provisions designed to improve the military's prevention and response on sexual assault issues, including one that would require sexual assaults to be prosecuted by a special court-martial overseen by an officer of the rank of at least captain or colonel. But advocates for survivors and their allies on Capitol Hill say Congress needs to go much further. Congressman Bruce Braley is one of those allies. He's worked with advocacy groups in past years to pass legislation targeting sexual assault in the military. Still, though, reported cases inched up another percentage point last year.
If you want to know who I am, I'm the pissed off congressman from Iowa.
Angry, Braley says, because while DOD officials say they have zero tolerance for sexual assault, there were still more than 3,100 cases in the military last year. Those are just the ones the military knows about. He says DOD's leadership needs to be as angry about the issue as he is and as survivors are.
And when we keep talking about policies and procedures and we don't change outcomes, we are failing in reaching that admirable goal of eliminating sexual assault and discrimination in the military. And we aren't even close to being there. And until we do, I want other people to be pissed off about this problem. Because the time for polite conversations are over.
Braley spoke during a half-day summit organized by the group Service Women's Action Network just before the 200 or so attendees from around the country marched up to Capitol Hill to meet with their members of Congress. And there was plenty of outrage to go around. Outrage at the stories they heard from fellow survivors. A female soldier who said she was raped, later put on a train to get an abortion, and forced to return to work the same day. A male sailor who was raped by a shipmate, forced to return to sea with the perpetrator, then falsely diagnosed with a personality disorder and discharged from the Navy a year later. Conference organizers asked us not to record their comments or reveal their names. And outrage at the difficulty of getting care or disability benefits from the Department of Veterans Affairs for post-traumatic stress disorder. Michael Wishney specializes in veterans law and is the director of the Legal Services Organization at Yale University. He says VA approves more than half of all claims for PTSD, but it's much harder for victims of sexual trauma to get a disability claim okayed. For them, it's less than a third.
The VA says it will accept all kinds of things as proof that a rape or sexual assault occurred, such as reports to law enforcement and rape kits and so forth. But as everyone here knows, most of that evidence is unavailable. And so the willingness of the VA to accept that evidence is welcome, but utterly inadequate. The VA says, well, maybe you could have made a report and there should be some paperwork in the chain of command. I think not much needs to be said about why requiring the reports be made through the chain of command or CID is also wholly inadequate to the reality in the field for the overwhelming number of service members who experience these kinds of attacks. So that's false hope.
Defense Secretary Leon Panetta himself acknowledged the spotty record of local commanders properly documenting and prosecuting sexual assault cases last month when he announced DOD would begin requiring all sexual assault cases to be handled by a special court-martial.
At the local unit level, sometimes these matters are put aside. They're not followed up with. This requires that any time a complaint is received, that is referred up the chain of command for action.
Panetta also said DOD will improve its document retention practices so that sexual trauma survivors can prove their cases to VA. But he says several other changes he wants to make, such as creating a special victims unit in each of the military services and letting Guard and Reserve members stay on active duty after they file a complaint, will take action from Congress. Victim advocates say those and other changes to the military's criminal justice system are sorely needed, but there are other factors that are out of DOD's control, such as the fact that victims in military courts can't get monetary restitution even when their attackers are convicted. And when it comes to civil courts, they have virtually no recourse at all. Sandra Park, an attorney at the American Civil Liberties Union's Women's Rights Project, says because of various court decisions, military members are barred from exercising discrimination and equal employment opportunity protections that apply to almost everyone else in the country.
You know, it's very shocking to me that a law like Title VII can apply to civilian employees of DOD, and they may be doing very similar jobs as a uniformed member, and yet they have a totally different avenue of legal relief than uniformed members. The notion that we need to be able to hold our institutions accountable. And so you can imagine a scenario possibly where the criminal justice system is doing a great job in terms of punishing perpetrators, but there's still institutional policies and practices that are allowing violence to continue to occur. And it's not enough just to be able to punish individual perpetrators, but really looking at how these civil remedies are used to reform the actual institution is really an important thing.
Several survivors at the summit expressed anger that so few perpetrators of sexual assaults are actually prosecuted. DOD is well aware of the fact that sex crimes are vastly underreported, according to Major General Mary Kay Hurtaw, the director of DOD's Sexual Assault Prevention and Response Office.
For every report of sexual assault, you can be guaranteed that there's probably 5 to 6 times more victims out there that will never come forward to report because of many different reasons. Men and women will not come forward the very same reasons. Number one, they're uncomfortable talking about it. They don't want anybody to know about it. There's still a great stigma attached to sexual assault. They fear maybe reprisal, that people will retaliate against them, or that their commander may not take them seriously. The most critical aspect of getting somebody comfortable with reporting is going to be that leadership climate that you have in your organization.
But even when commanders do know about a sexual assault, survivors say, they too often escape prosecution. Out of those 3,100 sexual assault reports last year, only 1,500 alleged perpetrators were investigated, and only 148 of them served jail time. Too often, victims say, assailants are given the option to accept a discharge from the military with few consequences in their civilian lives. This attendee at the summit says his wife is a survivor of military sexual assault.
One thing I want to know is why they are not treated like they would be treated in the civilian system. People are being discharged, put into the public to go out and harass and do whatever they might do because the military does not want to deal with these people. Why are they not put on a sex offender list? Why are they not treated like perpetrators in the civilian world? My next question is, when am I going to see a commercial on television with somebody standing up and saying rape in the military is not acceptable? Just like Don't Ask, Don't Tell. When will I see that? And how are we going to police the world if we can't police our own military people?
The Pentagon has in fact started producing those commercials for outlets intended for military service members as part of a 7-step process DOD outlined last month to eliminate sexual assault. It's a promise DOD has been making for years, but even as the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff acknowledged recently, so far it's failed. In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.